Ja, so Podcasts machen voll Bock, ey.
Hallo und willkommen zur 23. Folge von Open Court, dem Podcast des FC Bayern Basketball powered by BayWa. Heute mit dem zweiten Teil des Interviews mit Head Coach Andrea Trinchieri. Nachdem wir im ersten Teil über Weihnachten, das Jahr 2021 und vieles mehr gesprochen hatten, geht es heute unter anderem um Andrea Trinchieris Rauswurf im Pokal gegen Chemnitz, eine schizophrene Euroleague-Saison sowie dem größten Problem der Basketballwelt, für das der Cheftrainer sogar eine Lösung parat hat. Viel Spaß dabei. Let's talk about what happened in Chemnitz at the Cup game. With Jason George, your emotions got the best of you. The situation in Chemnitz, you said, was totally different.
In Chemnitz is a deeper situation. I prepare myself. I watch games. I have game plan. I prepare, and I would love that everybody, you know, is at the same level. Okay. I had problems with referees. Okay, and in German league. Okay, because the level of communication, they are not keen on communicate. Okay, and. 10 days before the game of Chemnitz, I sent a video to the BBL asking for some specification about some calls that I believe were not correct. And they gave me a very clear answer. Everything is written with the video, okay. And one was about traveling, moving the pivot foot. Mm-hmm. Not 0-1-2, but moving the pivot. The rule is very clear.
Hmm.
Okay, the pivot foot can be moved only if the foot remains in the shadow, on in his shadow. Okay, and there was a call 2 minutes to go, a non-call about a huge traveling violation at home with Gießen when we won overtime. I don't remember, so tough game. Okay, and that call was on tie game. And they score a layup just because. So I ask, what is this? Traveling, you're right. Okay. Then, same thing. Not 0-1-2, like the referee interpreted. Just moving the pivot foot and gaining advantage the defense cannot cover. Mm-hmm. Okay. So 10 days before, they said to me, it's traveled. I see this because it's in front of me. I lost it. Still, my mistake, I take the blame for this, no problem. I believe that a referee can be more human. Give me a tech, but don't stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a tech, move on. And I will just, like a flat tire. You already gave me a tech, you already exposed me. Why to shoot me? My responsibility from that day, I changed totally my approach, okay? And it was a lot better.
So that's basically just losing it in that case, because you have this done, you had the work done before, you talk to the league, and then this happens, and you feel this costs your team the game,
yep. Purposely. Not the game. And
but yeah.
It's so, you know, my job is to protect my team. My job is to help my team. So if we receive a basket and they said, I cannot do anything, he's moving the pivot foot. I'm closing one side, he cannot gain advantage on the other side. Okay, in a knockout game, after that I addressed the thing, you know, same referee, but it's my mistake. It's my mistake, I live with that.
I had a coach once, I don't know if I told you this in the first podcast, who told me, like, you know, when you deal with referees, when I deal with referees as a coach, I must allow them as many mistakes as you guys do to shut us up, you know, not talking about referees.
You said something that I like. So how I try to get better, okay? Referee doesn't say to me, you made the wrong you call the wrong play, you made the wrong sub. You call the timeout at the wrong moment. They never said this to me. But I said to them, this is a foul, this is not a foul, this is traveling, this is not traveling. Very true. On the same way, coaches can lose job on a bad call. Not on purpose. So I believe that if everybody makes a step forward and we raise the level of cooperation with the, without hiding problems, okay, addressing the things in the proper way, because then the same referee gave me an answer that opened really. I said, why are you giving technical to my player? And the answer was, he was impolite. And to me, this answer says everything. So we need to be also polite. And it's true. We need to be polite. So I'm trying to address the things less and less and more politely.
I think this is going to work for you?
I don't know. It's a good drill. I don't know. Hmm.
So if you look ahead a little bit.
I don't accept losses.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't.
I fight through the things. So if this is what is required to have a better living and doing my job better, I'm going to do it.
But obviously one could say it would be better not to get thrown out and just really, you know, cool down with the referee stuff because you help your team much more when you're there and you're ready to.
True.
But it's tough, isn't it? I mean, I was thrown out. I mean, it's obviously it's lower leagues.
You know, but, now you're talking to me a bit tough pressure. I believe tough is when you don't have to feed your family.
Tough when when you feel wronged. I mean, obviously, you know, you're out there, you feel, okay, this is the wrong call. I know this because I talked to the league last week, and here you are, and you're calling the same bullshit. Why is this way? And there is this pressure of, obviously, you're not losing your job because you're losing Chemnitz, but I think this really, I think it's just human that you just, you know, you overreact, right? And it's tough to
it's human. I believe that it doesn't help to be referee like policemen. So you park the car out of the line, it's 15 euros. Okay, boom. You go through the red light is 100 euros. Okay. I believe sometimes it's because if there is only things you cannot do, what we are doing is less important. It's less motivating. So maybe communication, man, don't bust my balls. I'm trying to do my best. You know, this, if somebody tells me this, I won't say a word. So we are human, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes they have the smoking gun, always the gun there, you know. I don't have a gun, so the only thing I can do is complain. Let me do it.
I mean, I must say my brother is a policeman, mm-hmm. and he's pretty lenient. At least he tells me so. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're right. I think we have to talk about the big elephant in the room. We already touched on COVID. I mean, it's another season of COVID just... I don't know. Does it ruin everything for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It changed everything.
Yeah.
I don't want to give this importance to COVID to say that it ruined my life. It changed my life.
Yeah.
It changed the life of the players. It changed the life. So it's totally... So I play Friday with 10,000 people that curse me and spit on me for five generations. Okay. And then I play on Sunday with zero fans.
Yeah.
Where is the fairness of the situation?
Yeah, I was about to ask about Belgrade because obviously everybody saw the saw the video. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, that's obviously why we all love sports. But at the same time, I mean, I was watching them. I was like, what? this can't be. I mean, we still got COVID, and there are like 10,000 people there. I was screaming.
So, but I can focus on that this is unfair, or I can say the most important thing is to keep doing what we are doing, trying to do our best, knowing that there's no balance, there's no fairness, and we had to just navigate through the things.
Mm-hmm.
I keep it very simple, okay? This thing is going to change our life, not basketball, our life. My kids, your family, this is going to change. So we need to cope with the situation. We need to be smart. We need to face it and try to find a new way of living with it, not without. This is not going to go.
But this is like the macro view. But you in Belgrade in the gym, having 10,000 people screaming, I mean, what do you...
Zero mask.
Yes, your mask. What is your reaction to that? Are you like, oh, this is unsafe here? Or is it just, are you so focused on basketball you don't even think about what this means maybe?
No, I pray and hope that every time nobody of my players got COVID. It's the only thing I can do.
Yeah.
We just try to get tested and try to control the situation, but there are clusters everywhere and don't know.
Are you informing yourself on every little news on COVID or are you?
At the beginning, yes. Now I don't want to follow.
Yeah.
There are every day, at least what I love from Germany, that you are more stable. So on Italian media, every day there are 55 virologists talking about COVID. And one say vaccination for 15 years, for 12 years, four times booster. This, we are going to face the COVID. We don't have to. I'm tired of this. Mm-hmm. And I know one thing for sure, that we don't know the truth, because nobody knows the truth. Not because somebody's hiding the truth. Some things are hidden, and I understand why. You have to keep the control on countries, on people, but nobody knows the truth. Basically, now everybody understand what means coaching a basketball game. Everything is live. So COVID is a new thing. We need to take decisions. It's open school, closed school. You can travel, you cannot travel, live. While you don't know what will happen tomorrow. And we go through tries. So Germany had November and December of 50, 60, 70, 80,000 cases per day. Then they do a mild lockdown for not vaccinated people. And now we have 10K of infections every day. Okay. So what they were doing live in the moment was a good thing. But if you follow everything that is written, you can commit suicide.
I mean, I'm at a point where I'm like...
Everybody's saying something different.
Yeah, but at the same time...
The Swedish model, the German model, the Egyptian model. Come on.
Is there an Egyptian model? I've never
heard of. For sure there is.
I mean, but you have this Omicron variant, and I guess the data's not in, but I mean...
But for example,
yeah,
Omicron variant. It looks that it's milder, that is going to overcome all the other variants. It lasts 3-4 days, and it's like a cold. Now you're going to tell me people is dying. Yes. Do we know if they are dying from Omicron, from Delta, from Beta? I don't know. We don't know the truth. Nobody knows it.
I mean, the data is coming in, more or less, obviously. And the thing is, I mean, obviously, it seems to be mild. I don't want this to be the COVID podcast, and Martin had to cut this out, I think. But at the same time, you know, if you're unvaccinated, obviously, it's worse, much worse than when you're vaccinated or you had contact with another variant. So we don't know that much is true.
My sister
got
vaccinated when she was 5 years, 1977. And she almost died by the allergic reaction.
Yeah.
But nobody in those days thought you should not get vaccinated.
Yeah. What kind of vaccine was it for pox?
Viola, what is the... yes.
Pox, yeah.
Yes. Was you had the obligation to do it.
Yeah.
You know? Now this doesn't exist anymore. this was eradicated. Disease.
Yeah.
And so she had 7 days in a hospital. It was drama in my family. They sent me to stay with a schoolmate. Well, but nobody thought you should not do it.
Mm.
Because the disease was so bad that it's like you have to live with the vaccination. And now no vax, come on.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just...
And I'm sure there are people that has reactions.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But it was always like this. We cannot change the history of mankind.
And there were billions of people already vaccinated, so we have pretty good data on that, yes. At least. I just hope that Omicron is not going to infect so many people that obviously sports of the whole life can't go on. That's the only thing.
I believe that the next 2 months will be a lot of canceled games.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Yeah.
There's no-brainer.
And that makes your job. Now again, we're going for a circle.
I don't want to think about it. I already have 2 months without players and it was very difficult. In this case, I will say, like you said to me, I'll try to do my best. I don't want to say, okay, shit happens, I'll fight through it. But the only thing I can promise that I'm going to try to be creative and do my best.
Is there any kind of communication you're aware of, maybe from EuroLeague or from the BBL with the clubs about this?
No, because we all tend to forget that EuroLeague... So you compare EuroLeague to the NBA, okay? Mm-hmm. The only thing that you can say that are similar that they are the best basketball levels in the world. NBA and EuroLeague. Best players, best games, best show and everything. But EuroLeague, NBA is 29 teams from one country and one team from another country, okay, that is very close and has similar things, knowing that many players don't want to go to play to Toronto because the taxation is double, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. Here, I don't know, it's 15, 14 different countries in EuroLeague, different rules, different governments, different health rules, different taxation rules. It's impossible. So in Russia is one thing, in Serbia is another thing, in Spain is a third thing, in Germany is a fourth thing, in Italy is the fifth thing, in France is the seventh thing. So it's really complicated. So what is keeping us together is the love of the game, the best game. That's it. But protocols change every day. So you go from one game with 10,000 people with no mask, and after 48 hours, you have to play a game without fans and everybody with a mask. And there is Omicron everywhere.
Mm.
So...
So you just, what can you do? You can just
nothing. Don't waste energy on that.
Can you even look ahead at the rest of the EuroLeague or BBL season, or is it just basically really just game by game?
I would do a great mistake if I go too much forward.
Mm.
Game by game, step by step. What we can do today, I don't know what we can do tomorrow.
Yeah.
Would be less or more. I don't know.
So don't you have any like intermediate goals? You have the coaching staff where you say...
How can I?
Yeah, it's rash.
So tomorrow we go to Lyon.
If you go.
They have a cluster.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm afraid that we don't get infected. I don't know with whom they're going to play. So...
It is crazy. It's what's now? It's 2 years now, right? It's two and a half seasons, right? Basically.
No, but this will never go.
You think?
100%. We have to live with it.
Yeah,
I hope that this will become a cold. This will become a flu. I remember that fragile people were dying from a flu even before. not with these numbers, okay? So who's fragile should care more, should try to stay under more strict rules, decided by themselves, not by the government, okay? And that's it. I'm not smart. I'm just trying to navigate the things.
Well, you say a lot of smart things, but on this thing, I hope you're not right. I hope you just totally forget about it because it really becomes endemic and the flu, which you're not going to test every day and all that stuff.
How? Disappear?
No, it's going to be there, but it's just going to be another. There are other coronaviruses as well.
But I believe that this is nothing different than what happened in the past with the Spanish flu.
Well, yeah, it changed in a different variant, which is not as...
But we need time.
I think that, yeah, we need time, obviously, sure. Jeez, this really turned into a COVID podcast. I can already say Abu just pulling his hair out he doesn't have. Let's watch ahead to 2022, because you said you're a fan of resolutions. Mm-hmm. If I tell you, if I had one wish for basketball in Europe, it would be that FIBA and EuroLeague just kind of sit together, just like we do here, and kind of just talk with Abu watching them, and they would just sort it out, the whole plan, the whole scheduling, that we can have the best players with the national teams, you know, we can have the best players in EuroLeague.
I believe that I'll give you a very short answer to a very complicated question.
Yeah, please. Okay.
They have to find an agreement, and they are going to find an agreement.
So you think it's going to happen?
So we need to have 1 month off for players, 3 weeks, 4 weeks totally off, and we need to put together club competitions, national team. Because basketball is an amazing sport. If we have good club competition and good national team competition, the level of the game will go high, and all the things related to basketball will be better. It's a win-win situation. Every country develops passion for a sport when the national team delivers.
Yeah.
Nothing gives you is a booster like national team wins. Then you have good national team, you have a good league, you bring good players, good coaches.
So what does it take? I mean, obviously the answer is always money, I guess, but what would it take?
Money makes the world go around.
Yeah, but what would it take to get FIBA and EuroLeague? What could be
I believe compromise? That it will be, so now we are facing, the worst thing that for a club can happen is injury of your player. Because it's like that you invest on thing and you throw the money that you invest in the toilet. Mm. Because you invest millions on a player and he got injured. So we need to reshape the schedule with off period, national team competition, and club competition. Who plays EuroLeague cannot play 90 games. This is not NBA. Because every game in Europe is important. Out of 82 games and two different competition is unfair, because you have one team that is resting 7 days and runs double of you just because you're coming from traveling all around Europe. Okay, and they say, no, it's good. It's good that a small team beats the big team. Yes, it's good once. But if this becomes a habit, it's not good for basketball.
So I guess the solution is fewer games, but who's going to...
I believe that you need to have the teams that are playing EuroLeague should go to more games and goes in domestic leagues only in the second part of the season. So like this, you can have 1 month off, you can have national teams, you can have good club competition, you can develop domestic players.
Oh, so you mean you basically have two rosters?
So if from September to February, you have a league without the teams that plays European competition. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you don't need to have, you can invest on young players. Okay. And then you put together a second league where you can use the domestic league where you develop players to be better. It's, I don't see any other way.
It sounds a lot like the Olympiakos model, right?
Yeah. Okay, Olympiakos didn't do it for this
purpose. Yeah, no, but it's basically the same.
But I believe that I would love to have EuroLeague Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday for until January, February. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you see the best games the whole season. Because we cannot change the reality. The money of the TV contracts, of the streaming platform, is changing the history of sports.
Hmm. That's an interesting proposal. I mean, obviously a lot of domestic leagues wouldn't like that, I guess.
I don't believe that you should have domestic leagues. But you need to have... So you have to play domestic leagues when you play domestic leagues. Mm-hmm. You cannot play Wednesday, Friday, Olympiakos and Zvezda, and then Sunday against domestic. You can, but you risk injuries, you risk bad quality. Nobody's happy.
Hmm. That's for sure, yeah.
Or maybe only the team that doesn't play EuroLeague is happy. But is this team going to change the future of German, Italian, French basketball? A small team that doesn't play European competition? This is my question.
Hmm. That's a valid question, I think. On the other hand, they got promoted to the top league, domestic league, for a reason. And obviously they want to have their voice heard as well. But I get what you're saying. So you have any New Year's resolutions?
Ooh, I have. I won't tell you.
Oh.
Sorry.
Just one resolution. There's 10,000 people listening to this. And they all want to know what is Andrea Tinkieri's New Year's resolution.
No.
Is it that bad? I
mean, no, not bad. It's very deep.
It's very deep, okay.
It's personal.
All right. Nothing in
but maybe we can do a podcast late spring.
Late spring.
And you're going to make me the same. What was?
Okay. And then we check on your resolution.
And you're going to check on my resolution.
Deal? That's a deal. We do that. And I think that's a pretty good way to end the podcast, our second one.
Perfect.
Normalerweise kämen jetzt hier noch die Baywatch-Schnellfragen zum Thema Verbundenheit. Wir wollen aber diese letzte Podcast-Folge des Jahres mit den besten Zitaten von Coach Tinkieri aus 2021 ausklingen lassen. Denn mit denen wird er und dieses Jahr immer verbunden bleiben. Viel Spaß.
Is you beat the unbeatable. What does that make you now?
That tomorrow we have a practice.
Paul or Pauli?
Pauli! We were ranked 18 in the EuroLeague. So we need basically a lot of practice to find a way to compete. We didn't have that luck, so we had to find... Everything was situational. I was playing, I was coaching five different games in the same game.
What is your one guilty pleasure?
We don't have enough time.
Years ago, I did my best to put Bamberg and Germany on the map of basketball. We had a trademark of how we are doing the things. I came here with the same goal, leave a heritage, leave something that can last, do the things in a different way. And I believe that I helped German basketball.
I think,
believe that I can expect at least respect If it's interesting, yes, it is. But there are many of them.
Yeah, but he puts pineapple on the pizza, so he will never play for us again. So.
Yes. He tries to do this because his name is Obst.
Exactly.
Obst on pizza, so we have a problem. So, no. No. We can afford to have a pizza with the ananas, sorry. Yeah. Everybody was ready for the funeral. Let's say that we just postpone the funeral.
Talking about enjoying it, will you have a little celebration now here?
I will drink a pool of red wine.
Okay. Cheers, okay. Thank you.
Anything else? No? Ciao. Schöne Wochenende for you, not for me, because Arbeit.
Das war sie, die siebte Folge der zweiten Staffel von Open Court powered by Biber. Wenn euch diese Episode gefallen hat, lasst uns gern eine Rezension da, zum Beispiel bei Apple Music und jetzt auch Spotify. Empfehlt den Podcast gern weiter und falls ihr euch ein bestimmtes Thema oder Gesprächspartner wünscht, schickt uns eure Anregungen an opencourt@fcbayern.com. Wie alle hier bei Open Court wünschen euch einen fulminanten Rutsch nach 2022 und ein frohes neues Jahr. Vielen Dank für eure Zeit und bis zum nächsten Mal.